Ditto monkeys beware. Here's more of Bart Cop Radio.
Leaving home out on the road. I've been down before.
Busy man like myself has to wait until something finds me because I don't have the time to go find it. And I've been waiting a couple of years for this to show up, and I'll be damned it showed up just the other day. Big headline here, hedge on fuel keeps Southwest flying high. Gonna read you just a little bit, you're gonna love this. Profits rise 41% while other airlines struggle. Dallas, Texas. Fare increases and a winning bet on the direction of fuel prices continued to pay off for Southwest Airlines, which reported Thursday second quarter profits rose 41%. Shares of the low-cost carrier rose 3.5%, the stock price. Southwest earned $159 million or 20 cents per share in the quarter, up from $113 million or 14 cents per share a year earlier. The result beat analysis, ready? The notes beat analysts' expectations of 18 cents per share, according to their, Southwest has raised fares three times this year, the most since 1998, and has pushed more travelers into higher priced tickets. But, now this is important. This is where you need to perk up your ears. But the key to Southwest's success, 57 straight profitable quarters while other U.S. carriers have gone through a boom and bust cycle, remains its ability to control costs. Its most successful cost-saving step, back when oil cost less than $30 a barrel, Southwest bought options that locked in the price of jet fuel for the next 4 years. They hold options for 85% of its fuel needs at the equivalent of $26 a barrel. Ladies and gentlemen, pick up a newspaper, turn on a TV, turn on your computer, and see what oil's going for today. $60 for oil. Southwest is buying it at $26. How did they do that? They bet against George Bush. That's how you make money in today's economy. You got a couple of greasy oil men in the White House guaranteed to rape this country. Southwest saw it coming. They looked at Bush, they looked at Cheney and said, we're about to take a fucking from a couple of oil men, so let's buy all the $26 oil we can get our hands on. And look what happened. Oil shot to 60, and there's Southwest buying $26 oil all day. Now, I can't tell you which show it's in, but you go back 10, 20, 30, shows, I told you, buy oil now because it's going nowhere but straight the hell up. Oil's going to be $100 a barrel by the next show. Well, maybe not by the next show, but by show 100, $100 a barrel. Trust old Bart. I don't know shit about the stock market. I don't know shit about the economy. I don't know shit about oil, but I guarantee oil is going to $100 sooner rather than later. I know it. Southwest Airlines knows it. Bob Dole knows it. The American people know it. Now get out of here. Oil is going through the roof. Southwest saw it coming. They bet heavily on it. That's what we call gambling. Gambling is supposed to be such an evil thing. Oh, gambling is so wrong. It's so evil. People that gamble, oh, it's just so wrong. It's so evil. But no, gambling's how you make money. Gambling's how smart people take money from the stupid people. The stupid people bet on George Bush. The stupid people bet on price of oil to go down because a couple of oil men were not bought the White House. Please. Anybody with any brains know that oil men are greedy, and Bush is the worst of the worst. The greedy sons of bitches have killed almost 2,000 soldiers just to steal some oil because that's how greedy they are. Southwest saw it coming, so they bet heavily. And why did I bring this up? A, it makes me look like I know what I'm doing because I predicted it a year or two ago. Number two, that's why I fly Southwest Air. They got cheaper prices and they never had a crash. And being an agnostic, that whole never crashing thing comes in really, really handy in my future plans. But number three, how many times have you heard some idiot, we'll just call him a monkey, say, If Bill Clinton was such a genius, tell me exactly what he did to make the economy better. Well, there's your damn answer right there. You're going to have to go somewhere else to get the fine print. But here's what Clinton did. Clinton came in. When he got in office, he looked at the monstrous debt that the Reagan-Bush bastards threw on every soul in America. Anybody with a job. You know, at one point it was 6,000, then it shot to 14,000. By the time Clinton got there, it was 20,000. Now it's probably $100,000 per person. When Clinton got in office, he thought, this is not going to work. So he devised a plan to fix the economy that the Reagan-Bush bastards left him. So what he did, because the economy was bad, interest rates were low, and Clinton borrowed, now here's where you got to go somewhere else to find the fine print, but Clinton borrowed a shitload of money. And when I talk about shitload, I'm talking about, I don't know, hundreds of billions or several trillions. I don't know. You got to go somewhere else to get the fine print. But I remember the vulgar pig boy screaming at Clinton, how dare you risk this country? How dare you risk our future? How dare you borrow all this money? That's what Clinton did. He borrowed a gazillion dollars at 1 or 2% because the interest rates were super effing low. And he borrowed all that money when interest rates were just like Southwest did. That's the big tie-in here. As the vulgar pig boy would call it, it's a dovetail. But that's what Clinton did. Southwest saw what Clinton did, so Southwest said, hey, Clinton's a winner. He knows how to gamble. Let's get in on some of that. Let's bet with Clinton. Let's bet against Bush. We're going to bet that the price of oil is going to skyrocket through the damn roof. I keep telling you, buy oil futures or options or whatever those things are called, because oil's got nowhere to go but way the hell up in the air. And you know something else that's kind of sad? A year from today, we're going to be grieving about the 6,000 soldiers that we've lost. Hopefully, it'll just be only 6,000. Christ, a year from now, we could be talking about the loss of New York and L.A. You just don't know what the Bush sons of bitches are going to do in their quest to steal more money. I'm speaking this on the day that London was attacked the second time. Bush keeps saying, we got to fight them over there so they can't fight us here. How many issues back did I blow the lid off that horse shit? They choose not to come over here. Someone has ordered Al-Qaeda, do not hit America. They're hitting England right now to make some kind of point. I mean, go figure why they're doing it, but the reason they're not hitting America is because they've been told not to by somebody, either George or Cheney or Osama, somebody in the little clique, somebody in that little cabal of evil oil sons of bitches / CIA undercover operative sons of bitches. They're controlling all this to steal money. Osama is probably the second most powerful man, maybe, in the world right now. Bush is first. The two of them are a team. The two of them have more money and power than any other two men that have been alive since you and I have, probably in the history of the world. Surely no other man in the history of the world has had the power that Bush has had, the power of absolute life and death over the entire planet. He can murder anyone he wants at any time for any reason, not explain it to anybody, and it's legal, and he's foolproof. He doesn't even need a pardon from his successor, Jeb. He can do all this. But I digress. Hedge on fuel keeps Southwest flying high. This is how you do it. You bet against Bush. You bet like Clinton did. You bet heavy when the odds are with you, and you're always going to come up a winner. Greatly disturbed me. Odds are you're going to agree with me on this. I pity the fool who don't. Big headline, LA police chief defends shooting. Man held toddler hostage, both killed. Police chief William Bratton defended his officers Monday for shooting a man holding his toddler daughter hostage in a gun battle that left both the child and the father dead. This is July 12th he was defending it. it's much later now, perhaps, you know, and act like, oh, as the weeks and months go by, we might get the ballistics back. Bullshit. The baby's dead. Get it, whatever, some tongs, pull the slug out of the baby, put it under the microscope, and compare that to the cop's bullets. It probably takes 2 hours. How many cops did you have? Oh, I think they said there was 20 of them or something shooting at this poor baby. Jesus Christ. But anyway, let's get back to it. It's my belief, based on a preliminary investigation by his own cops, who are crooked. Just look at that BIG stuff that's going on now in L.A. And you'll know the crooked L.A. cops, they hid evidence that they knew would make them look guilty. The judge had to call a mistrial, and she ordered the L.A. cops to pay the family, the Wallace family, all their expenses so far, because all the time the Wallace family was looking for justice and paying high-priced attorneys and God knows what other, you know, just imagine what it's like to hire a team of detectives and have them scour the country for clues. There's probably millions involved. So the judge ordered the LA cops to pay the Wallace family all their expenses, I think, so far, because they've been going around in circles chasing wild geese because the LA cops hid the evidence that counted. The crooked LA cops. Back to the story. It's my belief, based on the preliminary investigation, that the officers were confronted with an extraordinary volatile situation, one no officer ever hopes they'll have to face. Well, the officer and his hopes are hardly germane to the problem here. What you have here is, what do you do? What is the LAPD policy when a man and a baby walks towards you firing? Circumstances were, in a sense, controlled by the suspect. It was his behavior that unfortunately led to the ultimate tragedy, Bratton said, which is possible. If they would tell the truth about the ballistics, and again, are we going to trust the cops to explain, oh, we're innocent, trust us, we did our own investigation? It's like Bush investigating abuse at Abu Ghraib or Gitmo. Yeah, we all trust when people investigate themselves. What is it, Bart's Law number 2? If you can make a mistake and profit from it, you're going to make a mistake again and again and again. So if the ballistics come back with a mistake and clear the cops, the next time there's a shooting, they'll come back with a mistake and clear that cop too. You can't trust people who profit from their mistakes. Bratton said authorities don't know whether the police killed the 19-month-old or if the hostage taker and father, Jose Raul Pena, 34, fired the fatal bullet. Autopsy and ballistic results were not yet available, he said. Again, it takes a couple of hours. Don't let them lie to you. Police were called to South Los Angeles, just west of Watts, on Sunday after Pena came out of his home with a gun and the girl. During a three-hour standoff, Bratton said Pena fired at police on three occasions, stepping outside his apartment in a car wash business while holding his daughter. Twice he stepped into the street in front of his business. The third time he stepped out a back door and fired, wounding an officer and taking fire from LAPD's tactical SWAT team. Big important paragraph here. An internal police investigation is underway. Bratton pointed to police rules that authorize an officer to shoot, quote, when it reasonably appears necessary to protect himself or others, close quotes. He said officers were justified in firing even as the child was held by the shooter. Oh, I just don't know how wrong that is. Now, if we're ready to get into the muck and the mire here, the reason I respect the soldiers that are so hated by many of you is because they're willing to do that which I am not. I am not ready to sign up. Even if I was 20 and healthy, I'm not going to sign up to go to Iraq to get blown up, saving my country against someone who never attacked us. Similarly, when a man holds a baby and walks towards me firing, I don't want to be in that position. So people who volunteer to be in that position have my respect. As an agnostic, that whole dying early thing just doesn't come natural to me at all. But someone else, perhaps one with faith, who thinks they're going to sit with Jesus just like Muhammad Atta, if you're one of those people and you want to put your life on the line to serve your country, I'll salute you. I'll buy you a shot of Tinaco. You can raise my taxes to pay your salary and your expenses of your family after they kill you on the job. But the point is, when you volunteer to become a cop, and the bad guy walks towards you with a baby in his hand firing, what you need to do is play some defense. You don't need to fire bullets towards the baby. I don't know every circumstance that was involved in this, obviously. I'm nobody in KDRAG, Oklahoma. I don't have a seeing eye that floats around L.A. that records the truth. But from the facts we have, the facts that are available, this guy walked from his business out into the street. Now, we assume there's some footage involved there. you would assume he didn't take two steps out of his door and now he's in the street. So did they not have the presence of mind to surround the house? And by the time the guy got to the street, doesn't that mean there were some people behind him? And if I knew a little bit more about guns and ballistics, surely there are bullets that will flatten when they hit something. So you can shoot a man in the back and the bullet will stay inside his body and not go through him and puncture the little kid in his arms in front of him. And they're talking about the LA SWAT team, tactical team, whatever, they were there. Don't they have sharpshooters? Can't they put one in this man's head and not shoot the child? Somewhere in here, I'll see if I can find it. No, they don't say. You'd think they would mention how many police shot at the man and the baby, but I don't see it here. Ain't got time to read the whole thing. But I severely disagree with the idea that when a man and a baby are walking towards you and the man is firing at you, that you fire back. If you're a policeman, why don't you get behind your police car? Why don't you get behind a brick wall or behind something? If this guy goes nuts and shoots his kid, well, you're as powerless as Clinton was when David Koresh decided to murder his children in Waco. If a crazy man decides to murder his kids, there's very, very little the government can do, assuming you've gotten a warning and the man holds the kid in his arms. There's just not a whole lot you can do. But there's a difference between the man shooting his daughter and no one could help her and the police shooting the daughter because the man was firing at them. I just don't think that's how it works. I think if you, when you put your hand in the air and the other one on the Bible and you swear to defend the people of LA, I don't think firing bullets into a child is defending anybody. This was, like I said, July 12th. As time goes by, maybe there'll be more evidence come out about this, but it just seems a little funny. And I can understand a police chief, it's his job to stick with his officers. You can't have a police chief right away jump on him and say, oh, I'll bet they're guilty. You know, I've got that luxury. He doesn't. But I get a little suspicious when he justifies, you know, why not wait until they do the autopsy to get the ballistics back and then brag on your officers? But if that's a cop's bullet in that little kid, oh, L.A., you have effed up. And you have effed up severely. I think they might need another new police chief. I don't know if this police chief, he's probably not, he probably inherited this mess with a notorious B.I.G. But think about that, to have crooked cops. Maybe some of you have seen The Shield with Vic Mackey. You know, if they don't like a guy, they'll just shoot him in the head. Vic, on the opening show, the first year, the premiere of the entire series, he shot one of his team. You know, he does the tactical, whatever, that the strike team, they call it. And there's Vic, who's a crooked murderer killer. He's Tony Soprano with a badge. And he's got four crooked fellas that, you know, run with him in their little gang. And the police chief, somebody put a fifth guy on the squad to keep an eye on him. So they shot him in the head. And then they went back to the station house and said, the bad guy shot him. Of course, they used his gun, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, if that's what we've got in Los Angeles, it's not entertaining. Now, seeing that on a TV show, watching The Sopranos on TV, yeah, that's fun, that's entertaining. But if the L.A. cops, the evidence that come out, I don't know if you're up on it, and I'm not, but I've heard pieces. If they didn't like you, they just put a half a pound of cocaine in your back seat. Well, you know, they pull you over. They say, hey, what are you doing with all this cocaine? You go, what cocaine? He said, it's half a pound in your back seat. And they throw a half a pound of cocaine in the guy's back seat. And he says, that ain't mine. They say, hey, go to hell, liar. And they beat him up or shoot him. Anyway, these people are in prison. Because the crooked cops were framing people, murdering people, just like Tony Soprano. These cops were doing the wrong thing. They would go ask Suge Knight, hey, dude, who do you need murdered? Who do you need kidnapped? Who do you need put in prison for 50 years? And Suge would give him a list, and the dirty L.A. cops would go take care of that. If that's how notorious B.I.G. was murdered, with crooked cops laying down, closing their eyes. You know, the crooked cops were being paid. I don't know how this works, but there was off-duty L.A. cops supposed to be protecting notorious B.I.G., and when he got shot, nobody knew what happened. The cop showed up and said, what happened here? Everybody said, gee, I don't know. Even though they have professionally trained L.A. cops at the scene of the crime, they all played see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil when someone said, what's wrong? That's conspiracy to cover up a felony. Murder is a bad thing. We don't need crooked L.A. cops covering up felonies to get a check from Suge Knight. This is all bad. It would be nice if the L.A. Situation got a lot better, but it's going to take people like the defense attorneys that the Republicans hate with all their might. If the defense attorneys don't make the dirty, crooked police pay a price for being dirty, crooked police, who will? Closing argument. Not only did the L.A. police investigate this themselves, the FBI was called in. They ran an investigation independently. They couldn't come up with anything. Suddenly, the Wallace family attorney shows up, and he gets a tip. He acted on it. He brought the evidence into court. The judge declared a mistrial, told those crooked L.A. cops to stop lying, write the family a check, come clean. We're going to do this all again in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and we're going to have a little more fair fight this time because you guys got caught cheating on the evidence. Now you're in trouble. Get ready to write a check to the Wallace family, you crooked L.A. cops. And we're going to find out for long who shot that little kid. If it was the L.A. cops, they better get a new police chief.
We just got here. We were at the Yankee game. We got hung up in traffic.
Yeah, I know.
It's how ordinary Americans...
Yeah. Something horrible happened about an hour ago. C.J. Craig was getting threats, so we put an agent on her. He's a good guy. He was on my detail for a while, and he was in Roslyn. He walked into the middle of an armed robbery and was shot and killed after detaining one of the suspects.
Crime? Boy, I don't know.
We should have a great debate, Rob. We owe it to everyone. When I was running as a governor, I didn't know anything. I made them start Bartlett College in my dining room, 2 hours every morning on foreign affairs and the military. You can do that.
How many different ways do you think you're going to find to call me dumb?
I wasn't, Rob. But you've turned being unengaged into a zen-like thing, and you shouldn't enjoy it so much as all. And if it appears at times as if I don't like you, that's the only reason why.
You're what my friends call a superior sumbitch. You're an academic elitist and a snob. You're Hollywood. You're weak. You're liberal. And you can't be trusted. And if it appears from time to time as if I don't like you... Well, those are just a few of the many reasons why.
They're playing my song. In the future, if you're wondering, crime, boy, I don't know, is when I decided to kick your ass.
Subject, let's get two other quick, short gambling stories out the way. Some people just hate it. They hate it with all their soul. When I mention the word gambling, they just want to set their hair on fire, put a noose around their neck, and jump off the damn roof like that housekeeper in the Damien movie. Two quick ones here. Big headline, Parkinson's drug linked to gambling. Drugs used, this is the U.S. Whore Today, drugs used to treat Parkinson's disease can trigger compulsive gambling in some patients, a small study suggests. Well, bullshit. If there's anything I know how to do, it's to spot the bullshit, and right now my bullshit meter is going off like a chihuahua on Cuervo. The analysis by researchers at the Mayo Clinic found 11 patients 11 Parkinson's, ready? The analysis by researchers at the Mayo Clinic found 11 Parkinson's patients who began gambling compulsively after being treated with drugs aimed at controlling the movement problems that characterize this disease. The drug, so-called dopamine agonists act like dopamine, a brain chemical that is depleted by Parkinson's disease. Scientists believe that dopamine plays a role in reinforcing behaviors like gambling. Well, see, now right there is a big problem. There's a difference between gambling and things like gambling. Before taking the drug, study participants had never gambled or had done so infrequently. When patients were taken off the medication gradually, several reported a dramatic resolution in their problems, says the study in today's Archives of Neurology. As a general rule, I trust the Mayo Clinic to some degree. I have bet my life on that they know what they're doing, but I cannot buy this in any way, shape, or form. There is no way a drug is going to make you gamble more. It's possible that a drug might, like alcohol, might make you gamble more because you're in a frivolous, who-gives-a-fuck mood. That's possible. But alcohol doesn't make you gamble. Alcohol might get you giddy. Alcohol might get you who-gives-a-darn, you know, this and that. But alcohol is not going to make you gamble any more than this drug is going to make people gamble. I think someone decided that would make a cute headline, drug makes you gamble. But, you know, it's just not that way. It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. Your brain is not wired that specifically to where a drug switches on this thing. It just doesn't work that way. I don't think you can find a precedent in the history of medicine that works that way. Now get out of here. Last story on gambling. Crowd does the wave. Turning over police cars, setting them on fire. 2 dead, 44 wounded so far. Downtown in shambles. Please keep your children inside the house. But I shouldn't joke because this is sad. Oh, my God. What are we coming to in this country? Letter to the editor, U.S. Whore Today. Poker skips sports values. Congratulations, ESPN, for taking the sport, in quotes, of poker to galactic heights. Now, I don't know if ESPN has the power to take anything to galactic heights, but this guy has to exaggerate and lie and obfuscate and confuse to attempt to make a point that he's not going to be getting away with. To bring together untouchable celebrities. Now, see right away, untouchable celebrities. What does that mean? And common gamblers, oh, doesn't that sound awful? Untouchable celebrities and common gamblers, oh, there's just disease all around. Oh, can I finish reading the article? It's so awful. To bring together untouchable celebrities and common gamblers from, quote, anywhere USA, close quotes, for a common purpose, dare I say, goal, dare, is a feat unto itself. Now, does that make any sense, even without my emphasis? Does that make any damn sense at all? Here's my question. How do you explain to your 8-year-old son, who is a sports, in its true sense, close parentheses, fanatic, that to pursue a career as a professional poker player borders on ludicrous? Now, how do you explain to your boy that being a professional poker player is ludicrous? I don't know. I guess you lied to him. My God. If you gamble large sums of money and always lose, yes, do not be a poker player. That's why these people are sitting at the big tables, the same way Barry Bonds hits a whole bunch more home runs than old Bart does. You see, I don't play for San Francisco. I'm not a multi-billionaire many, many times over. I haven't hit 750 balls into the ocean, so I'm not on their team. You see the difference? I can't do it, so I'm sitting here in Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, talking to you. Barry Bonds is in San Francisco, probably, hitting balls out of the park. It's different. It's those who can do. There's no law that says every 8-year-old in America has to be a gambler. What's wrong with this guy? Going back to his nutty letter, I have nothing against recreational gambling. He's lying. He's lying through his green teeth. And I believe in allowing my child to experience things in life. Oh, at the age of 8. He pushes them into gambling. What a nut. However, when I've painstakingly tried to instill the values of hard work, discipline, focus, and goal setting in my impressionable child, who skipped right over Nickelodeon straight to ESPN, the values imparted become all for naught, says this crazy man. Well, let me tell you, dude, apparently you know nothing about poker. If you're into hard work, discipline, focus, and goal setting, you're going to be probably a really good poker player. You got to have some kind of gut or instinct or something that you can't quite put your finger on. But, gee, hard work, discipline, focus, and goal setting, that's how you win poker games. What, are you crazy? Some people think poker is like, you know, worse than heroin. It's worse than a machine gun at high noon. It's worse than crashing planes into the World Trade. I mean, my God, it's poker. Could you get any more horrible than, I mean, child rape and devastation and dams breaking, wiping out towns? That's nothing compared to poker. Oh, my God, how we hate poker. Back to his letter. It's hard enough sitting through steroid use or ear-biting incidents. Well, nobody told you to make the steroid people your heroes. Nobody told you to make Mike Tyson your heroes. Your kid's 8 years old. He's looking to you, Dad, to give him a little guidance. Dad, you need to pull your head out of your ass and help your kid here. You need to be honest with your kid. You need to tell him the damn truth. And it wouldn't hurt for you to wise up a little bit if you're going to be the teacher in this teacher-student relationship. Wise up, Dad. Dissuading a poker-obsessed child. Now, if your kid's 8 and he's poker-obsessed, yep, you have probably done something wrong. Dissuading a poker-obsessed child from reaching for the bracelet. Oh, my God. Can there be any more worthless goal than the bracelet? And if you don't know, in Las Vegas, when you win the World Series, they give you a bracelet. And it seems like every good poker player has a dozen of these because they give away about 200 of them every year. They give away one for World Series of Poker Hold'em. They give away one for Omaha. They give one away for Lowball Omaha. They give one away for the women. They give one away for Two's Wild. They give one away for baseball. They give one away for Jacks or Wild. They give one away for Ace of Spades, means you got to drop your pants. They give one away for Red Fours, means you got to drink. They give away 150 bracelets every year. But this guy's real panicked about the bracelet. So how are you going to get your poker-obsessed child? How are you going to keep him from reaching for the bracelet? It makes parenting that much more difficult. Oh, I am so glad me and Mrs. Bart don't have kids, because I don't know how I would handle it if my 8-year-old wanted a bracelet. I'd probably be more worried about something else than him playing too much poker. There's Sports Illustrated for Kids. When will ESPN or another network offer pure sports entertainment for kids? Getting back to what it really means to be an athlete, says J.D. Weidenfeld, Delray Beach, Florida. J.D. Weidenfeld, dude, I don't know if you can be helped. You know, for some reason, outguessing what your opponent might have in his hands in a poker game is just some dumb thing. But somehow, walking in the August heat and hitting a round ball in a hole out in the woods, that's some spectacular sport, please. You know, golf isn't even a sport anymore. And I caught a lot of shit for this, but when the Supreme Court ruled that the athletes didn't have to use any physical, you know, that Casey somebody could ride around in a golf cart instead of, well, that pretty much took the sport out of golf. I'm sorry, but if there's going to be a number one requirement for a sport, it's going to have to be some kind of physical ability. And if you can use machines to help what you can't do physically, I think you just lost out on things being a sport. You know, is driving a car a sport? You know, NASCAR, that business, maybe it is. Maybe there's some, like in poker, of course you can't die hardly in a poker game, but in high-speed NASCAR racing, that kind of thing, you have to make decisions, you got to make them fast, you don't have a lot of time, so yeah, you got to have reflexes, you probably don't want to do that very hungover. Probably got to have some stamina, sit in that car for several hours. I understand some of those cars get hot, up to where, you know, 130 degrees or something. You're in this hot machine and you're zipping around. I don't think they use air conditioning on these super hot machines as they're zipping around at 200 miles an hour. I don't think they kill 20% of their horsepower to give you a cool inside. So, yeah, maybe there is a little bit of that in there. But I'm not sure anybody said poker was a sport. Yeah, it's on ESPN. And, hell, I'll say it's a sport just because I think so many hand jobs sports are called sports. You might as well make a good sport a sport. But J.D. Weidenfeld, you've got, besides the problems you have with your son, all you've got to do with your time is to write a snippy letter to the USA Today, and they thought it'd be cool to print it. I don't know why, but it should help me out a little bit because it gave me a few minutes of radio time to talk about what a monkey you are. Don't shield your kids from poker. Shield your kids from hard drugs. Shield your kids from violence. Your kid's 8 years old, wants to teach him how to fight, so when a bully gets in his way, he can smack the bully down. There's a lot of things you can be teaching your kids, but the horrors of poker is not right up there at the top. Just ask people over at Southwest Airlines how bad gambling is.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the deal's done.
You've been listening to